If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
The title of my message today is The Ownership Question. The Ownership Question. I just want to tell you a story about a boy named James. Or rather, a man named James, I'm sorry. He wanted to do something with his five-year-old son, Jimmy. So it is about James, James and Jimmy. He asked his son, he said, "Son, is there anything you'd like right now?" Jimmy said, "I want some McDonald's French fries." I mean, I could go along with that right about now. Good. Don't think about it. His father said, "If that's what my boy wants, that's what my boy gets." They got into his Chevy truck and they drove to McDonald's, and Jimmy's mouth was watering as he could taste the fries before they reached the store. His dad made the order and Jimmy's heart pounded when Dad said, "Make it a supersize order of fries." The only thing better than McDonald's fries are more McDonald's fries. James took the money out of his wallet to pay for the fries and a drink, and Jimmy's little teeth were ready to sink into those hot golden fries before they even made it to the table. When they sat down, grace consisted of, "God bless this food, amen." How many know prayers are shorter relative to how hungry you are? And Jimmy was eager to get into those fries. And James, the father, was so happy to see his son happy over something so simple. He decided to join in the fun. He began to reach over to grab some of those fries for himself. And to his surprise, his son Jimmy quickly covered the fries and protected them, pulled them closer to himself, said, "No, these fries are mine." His dad was in a state of shock for a moment. He couldn't believe what had happened. He pulled back his hand and began to reflect about his son's attitude toward the fries. He was thinking, "My son failed to realize that I am the source of those French fries." At the counter, something probably a lot of you dads have thought, at the counter, I was the one who gave the cashier money from my wallet. I didn't give him the size fries he was expecting, but I gave him a bigger size. Yet here he's talking about his French fries. Not only was I the source of the French fries, but he's forgotten I'm 6'1", 195 pounds. I have the power to take those fries from him, despite his little arms surrounding them like a fort. Or if I wanted to, I could go back to the counter and buy so many fries that he could never eat them all. He doesn't understand that I don't need his French fries. I could go back to the counter and get as many fries as I want. As a dad thought about it, one or two fries really wouldn't have made much of a difference for him that day. What he wanted was his son Jimmy to invite him into his little world of eating French fries. He wanted his son to be willing to share the blessing that he had provided, which I think is a great illustration of what we're talking about when we talk about stewardship. In the Bible, every household of distinction seems to have had a steward in charge. The functions of this officer included taking care of the children, the property. Sometimes he was a slave, sometimes he was a freeman. But in the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, it is the steward who pays the laborers at the close of the day. In the parable of the unjust steward, the steward was a free man and had full charge of his master's affairs and could use them to his own advantage if he chose. He was fully accountable to his master and had to render an account when called upon. If unfaithful, he was usually discharged at once, as we see in Luke chapter 16. In his warning to his disciples, Jesus seems to imply that they were to act as stewards in his absence in Luke 12. According to this passage, a steward's task was to manage all the affairs of his master and attend to the receipts and the expenditures. Now, what's the definition of stewardship? I want to share that with you. From Merriam-Webster's online dictionary, stewardship is the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. John Maxwell, the great teacher and speaker on leadership, says stewardship is protecting and growing the owner's assets with fierce intensity. Now, in the passage before us, did I tell you to turn to your Bibles? Maybe I didn't. 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we'll be looking at verses 10 through 20. In this passage, David, who was, though he was a man of war, was a man of worship. How many love the Psalms and the Psalms of worship that mostly David penned? And he had it in his heart to build a temple, a permanent structure in which the Israelites could worship the Lord God. As you know, since the days of Moses, they traveled with the tabernacle, what I like to call a portable church, a portable building that they would set up and then take down as they traveled on their journeys through the wilderness. And David had it on his heart to build a permanent structure, a temple for the Lord. But the Lord said, David, because you're a man of war, it doesn't fall to you to build my temple. But I will have your son Solomon, who I will raise up after you, build a temple. And so David accepted the word of the Lord. But knowing that his son would come after him and build the temple, David made preparations for it. And he raised the finances for it. And he had things in place so that his son Solomon, when he became king, could build the temple. And in this passage here in verses 10 through 20 of 1 Chronicles 29, we see some basic stewardship principles that we must come to understand. Even though David was not to build the temple, he considered himself a steward of the Lord's resources. And that's what we just said stewardship is, managing someone else's resources. So this morning, as we consider the truth that we are all stewards of the resources God has placed within us, how many can say God has been good to you? Almost 100%, okay? And he bestows upon us resources that we are stewards of, that we are to manage well. So this morning, I want to share with you from this passage some basic stewardship principles that we must understand to be good stewards of what God has given us. What's the first principle, basic principle of stewardship? It's this, very simple, but very profound. Everything we have comes from God. Everything. Notice in verse 12, I'm going to be skipping around various portions of this text, verses 10 through 20. Verse 12 says, wealth and honor come from you, comes from your hand. Verse 16 says, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand. And back in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, Moses said, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Church, this is something that we forget at our own peril. Every source, every bit of material wealth, material goods, every talent, every ability, every opportunity in life comes from Almighty God. And we sometimes fool ourselves, don't we, into thinking that it's come from us. Well, Pastor Tim, you don't understand. I've worked very hard to get where I am in life. Well, that's admirable. The Bible extols the virtues of hard work. Matter of fact, the Bible has a lot of negative things to say about lazy people, doesn't it? The Bible says in one place, he who doesn't work shouldn't eat. I don't know about you, that's motivation for me. You're thinking about those McDonald's fries again, aren't you? So the Bible extols hard work, but make no mistake about it. It is God who gives us the ability to work. It is God who gives us the ability to earn. It is God who gives us the opportunity to produce. Because everything comes from God. Everything comes from the hand of God. And we dare not forget that. But sometimes we get a little confused. I have a short video I want to show you. Maybe someone could get the lights. From an old TV show. It's a little bit dated. Kind of has a concept that's outdated today. The husband, you know, giving out some money to the wife. But let's look past that and see the principle we want to show you. Go ahead and roll it.
Let me pace a couple more times and I'll tell you. All right, what is this?
That's my glove, and what are you doing with it?
I would just like to know why you think it necessary to hide a bank book in here.
Rob, how could you? You looked in my private glove. This is my own personal property, and you've gotten... How could you do such a terrible thing?
How can I? How can you think so little of our relationship, of me?
What has this got to do with that?
I would like to know why you think you have to have your own private bank account.
Because I do, that's why.
All right, then, the next logical question is, what is wrong with the money in our joint account?
Well, that's our account and our money. This is my money.
Your money?
Yes, Rob, I want some money that's mine to spend on anything I want. It's important to me. I don't want everything coming from you.
And where did you get this money?
From you?
Well, isn't it all the same thing, then? Either you get money from me or you get money from that which came from me.
No, Rob, it's completely different. I put this money in a little at a time. At first it's from you, but then after it lies around for a while, I forget that it came from you and then it's from me.
I think that, unfortunately, sometimes typifies how we think about our resources. We know it originally came from God, but after it lies around a while, we forget that it came from God and it came from us, right? You get the point. Everything comes from God. Everything we have, everything we could ever hope to have. Yes, we are to work. Yes, we are to labor. Yes, we are to be faithful. But everything comes from God. Aren't you thankful that we have a God who provides? God said he would provide for us everything we need. He never promised there wouldn't be times of sacrifice. He never promised there might not be some struggles here and there. But God in heaven, your creator who loves you, said he would provide for you everything you need. And how many can testify that God is faithful to his promise? Amen? Thank God for his provision. Thank God for his goodness and what he bestows upon us. Everything we have comes from God. But the second principle I want to share with you this morning takes a little bit further. Not only does everything we have come from God, everything we have, you ready for this, belongs to God. Everything we have, even though it's entrusted into our care, belongs to God. Look at verse 11. It says, David says, everything in heaven and earth is yours. You know what the Bible means when it says everything? Everything. You guessed it. Verse 16, all of it, the gifts for the temple, all of it belongs to you. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. It all belongs to God. We sing that song sometimes. It all belongs to you. Church, we can't forget that. Whether it's your 401k, or whether it's something you have in your savings account or stuffed under your mattress or the house you live in or the car you drive or the clothes you wear, whatever you have, it ultimately belongs to him. It belongs to him. Keep in mind the definition of stewardship. It's the managing of assets or resources that belong to someone else. Boy, that really can can make us sit up and take notice when we think about how we manage our resources, can it? It all belongs to you. I think God would say to us, with the money I've placed in your hand, what are you going to do with the abilities and the talents I've given to you? It all belongs to Him. Heard a story back in 1989. There was a TV show. How many, any of you remember the TV show B.L. Stryker? Exactly none. Okay. Well, it was a TV show. And in an article in the Lexington Herald Leader in West Palm Beach, Florida, a family living in a home in that community told a film crew that it was okay to use the front lawn for an episode of that television show. It was a crime drama. They knew cars would be crashing violently in front of the house, and they gave permission for that filming to take place there. But while all this was going on, the front yard was being blown up and cars were crashing, the owner of the home was tipped off and called from New York demanding to know what was happening to his house. You see, the people that lived there didn't own the house. It seems that the tenants who were living there had no right to allow the property to be destroyed because they didn't own the house. Many times we live on our lives under the mistaken impression that they belong to us. Paul tells us that we were bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. We must live as those who know that God will call us to account for the ways we've used this life entrusted to us. Church, our very lives belong to Almighty God. The question of ownership. Question for each of us today is, how do we live our lives? As if they belong to us, or as if they belong to someone else and we're just stewards? Perhaps you've heard of the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. In that book, in one section, he imagines the demons of hell talking to one another about their strategy, about how to basically shipwreck the lives of human beings. And they said this. They said, the sense of ownership in general is always to be encouraged among humans. The humans are always putting up claims to ownership which sound equally funny in heaven and in hell. And we must keep them doing so. And all the time is the joke that the word mine in its fully possessive sense cannot be uttered by a human being about anything. You see, the demons in hell, they understand that what we have really isn't ours. It belongs to God. The desire of my heart is to say, Lord, how am I managing the things you've placed in my life? What am I doing with them? Am I managing them at my own whim? According to my own desires? According to my own dreams? According to my own plans? Or do I recognize with every decision I make about all the resources you've placed, not just financial, that's a big part of it, but not just that. Do I recognize about all the resources you've placed in my life that they belong to you? Something to think about, don't you think? The third principle that we see here is not only does everything we have come from God, not only does everything we have belong to God, everything we have requires accountability to God. And let's be honest, that's one word we just don't like to hear. Accountability. To have to answer to somebody, right? We pride ourselves on our independence. We pride ourselves often of not having to answer to anyone, but charting our own course, making our own path, making our own decisions. Excuse me. Verse 17, David said, I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. Verse 18, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever and keep their hearts loyal to you. Verse 19, and give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion, listen, to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 reminds us, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. We're accountable for what we do with our finances. We're accountable for what we do with our spiritual gifts, our abilities, our talents. Did you know that? Did you know that discovering and using your gifts for the kingdom of God is not optional? Did you know that? It's a resource that has been placed within our care. We are responsible for it. Not everyone can sing and lead worship like Chad or the praise team or play instruments. Not everyone can get up and speak. Not everyone can teach young children, although we do need teachers, by the way. A lot of you can. But we can all do something. Say, Pastor Tim, how can you know that? Because the Word of God teaches that we've all been given spiritual gifts. We're accountable for those. We're accountable for what we know. Did you know that? The Bible says we're accountable for how much of the Word of God we know. And for him who knows to do good, the Bible says, and does it not, it is sin. We are accountable to God. And if there's one thing that our culture rails against, fights against, it's this notion of accountability. Right? Am I right? We're free. And if they're, you know, they want to base it in patriotism, we're Americans. We're independent. I've preached a July 4th Independence Day sermon called Declaration of Dependence. Because we may be independent as Americans or citizens of other countries, but we can never forget we're dependent on Almighty God for the very breath we breathe. Everything we have, we're accountable to God for how we use it. After terrorists attacked America on September 11th, 2001, people opened up their hearts and their pocketbooks, you know this, and gave directly to those affected by tragedy. Millions, billions of dollars were given. The Red Cross received $547 million for this, but a public uproar, the Red Cross was not planning on using all of the money for 9/11 victims. Cyble Systems in San Mateo, California, responded to the news that the Red Cross would not use all the money for the victims by asking for the $3.2 million they donated back. Red Cross got the message. They said all the money will go to the victims. What made the difference? They were held accountable. I heard a story about a man who once said, "If I had some extra money, I'd give it to God, but I have just enough for myself and my family." And the same man said, "If I had some extra time, I'd give it to God, but every minute is taken up with my job, my family, my clubs, and what have you, every single minute." And the same man said, "If I had talent, I'd give it to God, but I don't have a great singing voice. I have no special skill. I've never been able to lead a group. I can't think cleverly or quickly the way I would like to. I just don't have any special ability." And God knew his thoughts and heard what he said, and he was touched, and God responded to that. So God gave the man money. He gave him time, and he gave him the fabulous talent, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited. Then after a while, God got tired of waiting. How many know God is patient, but his patience can run out? He took all those things back from the man, the money, the time, the exceptional talent. After a while, the man said, "If only I had some of that money back. If only I had more time, that time back that I had for a while. If only I could rediscover that glorious talent, I'd give it to God." And this can't be verified, but it's reported that God said, "Oh, shut up." And the man told his friend, "You know, I'm not so sure I believe in God anymore. If only." You know, it's human nature to want what we don't have, isn't it? There's a reason that There's a cliche that says the grass is always greener on the other side. We can want what we don't have, or we can be accountable for what we do have. You know what? I need to tell you today, the Lord doesn't owe me one thing. He doesn't owe me one thing. If he never, I pray that he never stops blessing me. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not a masochist. But if he never did another thing for me the rest of my life, I'd have more than enough that he's done for me to praise him throughout all eternity. How many can say the same thing? God doesn't owe you, he doesn't owe me one thing. But yet, you know what he does? He blesses us anyway. Come on. He pours out his blessing. The scripture says he lavishes blessing upon us. He pours out more than we can even contain, more than we deserve, more than we know what to do with sometimes. And what do? We complain about what we don't have. Or we mismanage what he gives us. I don't want that to be the case in my life. I don't believe you want that to be the case in yours. We're stewards of what God has placed in our lives. Amen. We need to remember everything we have comes from God. He's our source. Do you have a need today? Is there something you feel like you need? Let me tell you, God is your source. Man is not your source. Your friend is not your source. You yourself are not your source. God Almighty is your source today. And he will provide for you. Everything we have comes from God, and everything we have belongs to God. I wonder how much it would transform our lives if we began to consider, if we actively applied this principle, everything I have is yours. The car I get in to drive, to go to lunch today, Lord, that's your car. Help me to use it for your glory. The money I spend on lunch so I can have food so I can be nourished, or food I prepare at home, Lord, that's your money. That's your food. The job that I have, the career that I have, Lord, that belongs to you. Help me to deal with it wisely. The house I live in, Lord, that's your house. Help me to use it for your glory. Because the third principle says we are accountable to God for everything we have. Everything. What gifts do you have? What abilities do you have? One of the things I have loved in 26 years of being a pastor of this church, one of the things that blesses me no end is to see people coming to Christ and learning, discovering what their spiritual gifts are and using those gifts to further the kingdom of God, to bless the body here and to be used for the kingdom of God. That just blesses me. You all, many times, you might have no clue, and you're not here to bless me. That's just a side benefit. But I want you to know that many of you, without even knowing it, just using your gifts for the glory of God, you have blessed me beyond measure. Because I see God working in your life. I see you being accountable for what God has placed within your life. But I wonder if there are others of us here. You say, you know, Pastor Tim, I haven't really been as faithful with the resources God has given me as I should be. God is speaking in my heart. Speaking in my heart about my financial resources, using it for the kingdom of God. The tithe and offerings. And using the things I have. Maybe God wants you to have a Bible study in your home. I'm not saying that for everybody. Maybe God wants you to have a small group. Maybe God's giving you influence at work. You could get together and have a little prayer meeting. Maybe God's given you some ability you can use here in the church. Maybe you can help teach our kids downstairs on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights. Maybe you can help feed the homeless. I know many of you will. Maybe you can go on a missions trip. What has God placed in your hand? You see, sometimes we make the mistake, and I don't know if it's false modesty or laziness or what it is. We make the mistake of devaluing what God has given us. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I don't have many resources. You know, I live modestly, and that's fine. You know, but I don't really have any gifts, or I don't have the time. That's a big one, right? Here in the metropolitan area, here in the big city. Whenever I ask anybody, you've been keeping busy, I've never had anyone tell me, no. No, I've got tons of time on my end. No, we're all busy. I wonder if we can carve out a little of that busyness, a little bit of that time. Say, Lord, I'm accountable to you for my time. That's a novel thought, isn't it? Lord, maybe I can carve out a little bit of time to do something for your kingdom. Because I'm accountable to you for every resource I have. I'm your steward. You know, there's coming a day, the scripture tells us, when we're going to stand before God, he's going to hand out our rewards. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with that which I have entrusted to you. Don't you want to hear that? Of course you do. I'm not sharing this today to be harsh or to be judgmental. I'm sharing this because I believe God wants to speak to us about our stewardship, managing of what he's placed within our hearts. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's something powerful about a life that's completely and wholly committed to and dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something powerful because the limitation on what God does through us, the limitation is not found in God. We serve a God of unlimited ability, of unlimited power. The limitation isn't on his end of the equation. The limitation is on our end of the equation. And many times we forget that. And we wonder why God doesn't do this and why God doesn't do that. And maybe God is waiting. And God is wondering, why don't they release those resources to me? Why don't they use that for my kingdom? Why don't they use what I've given them? And if you're here today and God is speaking to your heart through this message, you're saying, Pastor Tim, I realize today, as God speaks to my heart, I realize there are parts of my life, there are resources he has placed within my life that perhaps I haven't been using for him like I need to. And I want to give him everything. I want to release everything to him. I want to let it all go and say, God, use me. Use my finances. Use my ability. Use my time. Use my relationships. Use my possessions. God, use me. Help me to pour it out and be used by you. Hallelujah. If God is speaking to your heart and that's the cry of your heart this morning, would you just slip a hand up wherever you are? Lord is speaking to you. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to surrender it all to you. Lord, we want to yield it all to you. Lord, help us to know that everything we have comes from you. Everything we have, Lord, ultimately it belongs to you. It's not ours. We're just stewards, oh God. And God, we're accountable to you for everything that you've placed in our hand. And God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just begin to thank him right now and praise him for the resources he's placed in our lives, for how good he's been to us. Hallelujah. And let's express from our hearts, Lord, I want to give you everything. Hallelujah. 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 Pray this prayer with me. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you because you've been so good to me. You have blessed me with finances, with possessions, with relationships, with abilities, with opportunities, with time, and in many other ways. You have been faithful to me. And God, I want to be faithful to you. Lord, everything I have comes from you. I affirm that today. Lord, everything I have belongs to you. It isn't mine. I'm just a steward to manage it for you. I affirm that today. And Lord, everything I have, I am accountable to you for how I manage it. Lord, I want to be a faithful steward. I want to hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So, Lord, everything I have is yours. Help me not to micromanage it. Help me not to assume control. Help me to hold on to things loosely and release them to you, for it's all yours. Lord, help this not to be just words, but help me to live it out. Lord, you own everything. Take it. It's yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for hearing us today. Thank you, Lord, for all that you give us, all you do for us. And Lord, we are yours. And Lord, we know that as we obey you, Lord, that as we go where you want us to go, as we do what you want us to do, as we give what you want us to give, Lord, you will fight our battles. Hallelujah. Though the enemy may seem to have surrounded us, Lord, in reality, you are surrounding us. You are protecting us. You are enabling us, oh God, because, Lord, we have given everything to you. Hallelujah. Lord, we just surrender it all. We just give it all to you. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, go with us today. Watch over us, we pray. And may your love and your grace be upon each and every one. And we'll give you the honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name, the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen.